Pastor Ike preached a wonderful message this morning on the war on prayer. And how many know when you make up your mind to go into prayer, it's a war. You just put on your battle clothes because you're going to fight. You're going to fight the world, but more so, you're going to fight the flesh. And all of the things that bring interruption to our communication with God. But in Luke chapter 11, beginning with verse 1, it says that it came to pass as he, speaking of Jesus, was praying in a certain place, when he had ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, when you pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done as it is in heaven, so in earth. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our sins as we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And when you look at this same prayer in the book of Matthew chapter 6, Matthew adds this closing line that says, Thy kingdom come, I'm sorry, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we just come before you today, Lord, knowing that each one of us needs to develop our prayer life. None of us are where we need to be. We all need to step deeper to you. And so we ask you this morning, Lord, teach us to pray. By virtue of your Holy Spirit, the convicting power of God upon our lives, and the empowerment of the Holy Spirit to press in, press against flesh, Father, we ask you this morning that you teach us to pray. And we'd ask you as well this morning, all those that have given in support of this ministry, that you would bless those lives, bless those families, return it upon them in such a way that they know that God Almighty has smiled upon their life. And God, teach them, Lord, to walk under the benefits and the blessings of God without failure. Father, we ask it in Jesus' name. We thank you for it. Amen and amen. I want to minister a message this morning. Teach us to pray. Now, all 12 of the original apostles were Jewish men, with the exception perhaps of Luke. And so these, as young boys, as young children, coming up in a Jewish family, their families taught them how to pray. Just like many of us as Christians, how many is teaching their children how to pray? Put your hand up higher. If you have children or nephews or nieces, teach them how to pray. But these men grew up, they were taught how to pray as a young child, but when they listened to Jesus pray, they realized his prayer was different than theirs. And so they came to Jesus right after he was praying, and what they were really saying is, Lord, teach us to pray the way you pray. Because the Jews, the apostles, their prayer was more just ceremony. Whereas Jesus was an actual communication with the Father. And when Jesus gave this prayer, he wasn't giving it in order to give us, repeat these words. It's about 20 seconds to read that. He wasn't telling you to pray 20 seconds. But rather what he was laying out was a template. This is how you structure your prayer. Now, when we get saved, most of us, we get saved and you just start talking to God. We just start praying. And it's like a runner. You know, when a little baby learns how to walk, mom and daddy may hold his hand and help it with its first steps. But when that baby, as soon as it learns how to walk, it's not long, it'll start running all by itself. And that's how a Christian is. A Christian will just start praying all by themselves. And you may have learned like that, just started running all by yourself, and you may run fast. Some of us run a little bit slower. But if a person who is running joins the track team, they teach them how to run. Here's how you lead the starting block. Here's how you set your posture to be the most efficient movements that you can, and that person can run much faster. And so if you and I would listen to Jesus' instruction in this prayer, we can be more efficient in our prayer lives and actually cause our prayer lives to begin to expand. The big problem with Christianity in this last hour is most saints do not have a prayer life. They may pray a little bit here and there, but a prayer life means there's a period of time that is, I don't do nothing else. I don't talk to nobody else. I find myself alone with God, and I just spend time in His presence. I was speaking to someone before the service, and they were telling me how that they get up in the morning and they'll go to a secret place, a private place, and they'll study the Word, and they go to pray. And the question was asked, but now that I've separated myself from here, now what do I do? And I'm sure many of us have that same question. That's not, how do you pray an hour? How do you make that happen? Well, yesterday, a two-hour prayer session, I think a week or so ago, in Ignite prayer, we prayed a couple hours then. And honestly, there's people that can pray 2 hours and pray even longer. It's not a real big thing. But for the person who's just starting out, the question will be, how do you pray that long? What do you have to say? Has anybody ever asked that? Don't put up your hands. Don't put up your hands. You know, but sometimes because we never get taught how to pray, we never actually pull it out of the scriptures, our prayer is something like, Dear Lord, my name is Jimmy. I take all you give me. Amen. We just come to God with our petitions. Here is everything I want. That's what prayer is to ask. Here's everything I'm asking for. Here's what I want. And that's okay, but there is a better way. And Jesus laid out in this prayer the template. And I'll just give you the overview of the entire thing. He opens with praise and thanksgiving. Adoration. And then he moves in the next sentence to submission, where he's submitting himself to the will of God. And I'll go through this all very slowly so we can see it. And then after that, he begins to address his supplication. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespass. He begins to ask for the things that he needs. And then finally, if we include Matthew's final verse on this prayer, he closes with praise. He opens with praise and he closes with praise. And so when we begin to structure our prayers a little bit, you'll find, for example, when I get to submission, sometimes I just get lost there. Sometimes just in the opening praise, I just get lost right there. You can spend 20, 30 minutes just right there, just remembering his mighty works, not just that he's done in the world, that he's done for me. And as you pray that, as you think about it, you start realizing who it is that you're talking to. And so we have to move away from the ceremony of praying. Here's what prayer is in simple words. It is the sincere cry of your heart. It doesn't have to be formal. It doesn't have to be Elizabethan English. We have a tendency when we pray, oh, Heavenly Father. No. So, Father, I love you, and I thank you that you saved me. And you talk to him just like you would talk to anybody else. You don't have to put on anything besides that. So Jesus gave us this template, and it begins by saying this. When you pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven. Now, when you say Our Father, you're establishing the relationship that you have with him. You can say our God, that's fine, but our Father means I'm coming to you based on the relationship that Jesus paid when he reconciled me back to you. I'm coming as an heir and a joint heir. I'm your child. I'm calling you Abba, Father. You're establishing, you are the superior. I am the inferior. You're not my buddy. You're not my co-pilot. You're my God and my Lord and my King. And just spend some time right there. Don't rush past it. Just begin to tell him everything that he is to you. You're my refuge. You're my rock. You're the place that I hide myself from the harshness of this world. You're my future. I put all of my trust in you. Just spend some time right there. You don't have to rush. It's your prayer. Take your time and enjoy it. Here's something else about prayer. It doesn't have to be a continuous just words, just words, just words, just words. Take your time. Tell him something. Lord, you saved me in so many different areas of my life, and I thank you so much for that. Take a breath. Think about something else he's done for you. And Lord, you remember when I was bound on that situation, God, how you brought me out. And Lord, you've never reminded me of it. You've never brought it back to my attention. You're so good. You're so wonderful. And Lord, I just adore you this morning. I just love you and I just adore you. I thank you for everything that you've showed me in terms of what I am supposed to be. Spend some time there. Prayer is not a fast cluster of words that you just throw at God. Prayer, again, is the cry of your heart. It's where your heart begins to reach out. Deep calleth unto deep. And you begin to touch God. And you can say to him what you can say to no one else. So you begin, "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come." So this is where you just spend some time just praising him for who he is. Just thinking about all of his mighty works. Hallowed be thy name. It means, Lord, your name is holy. It should be treated as holy. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, Lord. I want your will to be done. God, I just praise you for who you are. You are holy. Just begin to think about his divine perfections. Lord, you are infinitely good. Every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights. You know what? You can pray the scriptures back at God. It's okay to do that. Sometimes that's the best way to express yourself, is just to let that scripture just flow up out of your heart. And here's what I found out. When I was learning how to pray, I began doing that, praying the scriptures. And you know what I found out? I don't have enough scripture. And I'm not making this up. I went on a search through the Bible, and I found verses, different verses that I liked that I could pray back to God. I would tell the Lord, "As the hart panteth after the water brook, my soul is thirsty for you right now, God. Lord, you are the high and the lofty one that inhabits eternity. Your name is holy. You dwell in the high and the holy place. Dwell with me, Lord, of a humble and a contrite spirit." You begin to just let your heart pour out to God. When you get to this place, that's when time no longer matters. You no longer care about, "Well, I've been here 5 minutes. Because you're locked into God and you're pouring yourself out. And if you don't have to throw a bunch of words at God. Take your time and leave a little room, because a communication, it goes both ways. You talk to God, but sometimes he'll talk right back to you. And now the thing about when he talks to you, he don't need your ears. He don't need to talk so it goes through your brain. He talks right into your heart. And there are times, so many times, I've been praying and the word is just flowing up out of me. I'm just pouring myself out before God. And all of a sudden, I understand something that I didn't understand before I started praying. I just got right in prayer. I just understood it. That's when God is talking back to you. And he's unveiling and revealing things. But this doesn't happen when we're looking at the time clock. "Oh, God, it's been 10 minutes. My goodness, I am anointed." You have to push against flesh. Your flesh, not somebody else's flesh. Well, maybe somebody else too. Your flesh, you will have to walk it down. What I've always said as I was learning how to pray longer periods, you have to pray long enough to run into your flesh wanting to stop, and then just walk it down. Just put it up under your feet and just press on out there with God. And the Holy Spirit will help you if you make up your mind. The problem is now, let's just be honest, many of us shy away from prayer. We shy away because, well, we feel like we're not that good at it. And, you know, maybe next year I'll be better at it. No, it doesn't work like that. You have to push. You have to apply yourself. You have to press out, and you'll find out as you do so, the next prayer was better than the last prayer. And sooner or later, what's going to happen, you're going to break all the way through to heaven, and you're going to feel the power and presence of God over your life. And now you're addicted to prayer. Now you're going to always have a room, make room for God. This is my time with the Lord. over the past many years, I get up early in the morning, especially on the weekends and on Sunday morning, definitely. And I come to the church and I spend time in prayer. When I was younger, I used to come to the church 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. And I'd pray till sun up or something like that. And as I've gotten older, it's far more difficult. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? As you get older, but I still make sure at 4 o'clock that alarm is set and I'm up, even when I'm tired. I'd rather come to God's house and sleep than to stay in bed and sleep. I'm going to press in. And that's the mentality that you have to have. You press yourself into prayer. Pastor Ike was preaching this morning, and as I was listening to him, as he was saying that you have to pray before the persecution starts. While Noah built the ark, wasn't nobody praying but Noah. But when that rain began to fall, everybody started praying. But you don't need a prayer. You need a prayer life. You need a life of, this is how I walk with God. This is my communion with Him. And you'll find out that you spend your long prayers in private. Those are your long prayers. If you have long prayers in private, your public prayers don't have to be that long because you're rooted and grounded in your personal private prayer life. So he says, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in heaven as in heaven, so in earth. Now this is submission. So you begin, first you praise him, you acknowledge him as Father, you praise him, remember all of his mighty works. And then you submit yourself. Before you ever say, God, here's all of my supplications and requests, I don't want to use this term, but I don't know a better term. You follow protocol. If the high priest just busted into the Holy of Holies, I'm here to do my job. Brother, you better have your garment on correct. You better have followed protocol in your preparation to come into God's presence. And you and I are no difference. We're his children, and he's very, very kind towards us. But we ought to honor and respect him. Because again, he's not your buddy. God is not your friend. God is not on your side. God is on God's side. And you and I then have to submit ourselves to his will and his way. Prayer is never a negotiation. It's always the person trying to find the mind and the will of God. Prior to asking for whatever that they're going to ask for, first let me have the mind of Christ. So he says, thy will be done, meaning that God, I want your will. The way your will is done in heaven, let your will be done on earth the same way. Now understand what that means. It doesn't just mean in the nations across the world that the will of God be done. It means that, but not just that. It also means that I recognize, God, I am made from the dirt of this earth. I recognize that you called me through Paul's epistles an earthen vessel. Let thy will be done in earth, in this earthen vessel, in my life, in my home, in my communication, in everything that I do. I want your will to be done. You submit yourself to God. Lord, I want, if you have ministry for me, Lord, help me to be the best that I can be at it. Speak to my heart, speak to my life. When every Sunday, whenever I'm preaching at least, I always see God, Lord, what do you want said? I can preach anything in the Bible. But God, what do you want said? How do you want it said? Don't let me be too harsh, but don't let me be too gentle. Use me, God, move through me. Thy will be done. And it gets us out of this mindset that we already have the solution. We just need God to agree with it. Because that's always the wrong mindset. Thy will be done as in heaven, so in earth. Now, if we submit ourselves to God, it really sets the correct mindset, the correct framework, so that when we now come to God with our supplications, we've already synced ourselves, put ourselves in synchronization with his mind, so that we're not asking for things that are outside of his will, because we've prayed, Lord, I want your will to be done. In fact, James said this. He said, James said that when we pray amiss, because we want to consume it upon our own lust. God, I want a new phone. God, I need a bigger house. Lord, I want this or I want that. And listen, that's fine. You can ask God for whatever you want to ask him for. But the answer, God's not an algorithm. He's a person. And he will deal with you as he relates to you. Sometimes the answer is no. And that's a legitimate answer from God. And sometimes the answer is not yet. This is not the time. But if we're rushing through our prayer and we've allotted 5 to 10 minutes, you don't have time for this full communication where you come to God with a full communication. So the next section of the prayer is supplication. This is where we give God our request. And you can actually break this down because there's several different sections in here. First, he says, give us this day our daily bread. That's for your provision. That's for your needs, the things that you need. And listen, you might need a car. Your car broke down. You can't hardly get to work. God, I need some transportation. Yeah, it's okay. You can ask God for that. That's a legitimate. But if the one you're riding now is working out pretty well, you know, maybe not. Give us this day our daily bread. And then he deals with forgiveness. And you always want to do this whenever you come to God. Lord, forgive me my sins. Because every one of us, when you bend your knees to prayer, there's some sin in your life. Now, it may be a sin of commission where you committed an act of sin, or it may be a sin of omission where you omitted doing something you should have done. But we always want to come to God. If you don't present your sinfulness to God in your private personal communication, it means you're hiding like Adam hid behind the tree. And as Christians, it's time for all of us to step out from behind that tree naked, just say, God, here I am. This is what it is. And you can be so honest with him. This is why sometimes your private prayer is so necessary. And here's what Jesus said. He said, when you pray, he said, go into your closet. And when you get in your closet, shut the door behind you. That means make sure you're in a private place. Now you can pour all of your heart out. Now you can give God everything. Now there's nothing wrong with public prayer. That's a good thing. And we should be involved in public prayer. But you need a prayer life. It doesn't come automatic. You have to build it brick by brick. You have to pursue it. You have to desire it. If you never pursue it, you will never have a prayer life. And let me tell you something, it's getting ready to rain. It's getting ready to rain. And we need to be rooted and grounded. See, when you first start praying, I remember this happening to me. I started praying as a young Christian. And it dawned on me, God really does answer prayer. I mean, there's a reality to it. He actually will hear you. It may not be that day or that week, but all of a sudden he hears you and he'll do it no matter how great the thing is. If it's in his will, when my wife and I, we had been divorced for 6 years and she was in Germany and I was here. She's on the contract with the U.S. military, which they don't let folks out of their contract. And I'm here in Texas and the Lord laid on our hearts that we need to put ourselves back together, and we began to pray. And do you know the army just let her out? Just let her out. No, I mean, no hard feelings or anything. Full benefits, everything. She just let her go. God will answer prayer if it's in his will to do that thing. So you ask for your provisions, and then you deal with God about your sins and those sins of people that have sinned against you. And the thought here is that you learn how to forgive those who are your haters. If you have haters, doesn't mean you have to become a hater. You pray for that person and you pray for that person's soul and you pray for their well-being as they move forward in life. Hence, Jesus teaching us to say, forgive us our sins as we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And here comes the part about our personal sanctification. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. It means, God, I need your Holy Spirit to lead me and guide me away from the areas of my weakness and sanctify me, lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from all of my own evil ways. Do you see how you can have so much to say to God? But you can't do it because everything doesn't come to your mind at the same time. You need to sit down and think about. See, many times we run up on prayer and we feel like we've got to be in a huff and a puff and all emotional and everything. No. When Jesus prayed his high priestly prayer in the book of John, every single word of that prayer had meaning. And many times we're not good at slowing down and letting our brain process as we talk to God. And so we end up saying, Father, Jesus, hallelujah, praise God, Father, Father, our Father, hallelujah, praise God. And Jesus said, don't use vain repetitions. He said, don't do that. And what happens is we're in the religious spirit of trying to pray at a fervor pitch. And if you're not at a fervor pitch, don't try to be there. Just talk to God. And we use Father as a filler word because we have nothing to say. Are you with me? But if you slow down, let your brain just process a little bit. You don't have to say anything. Because if you came to me and said, Pastor Lincoln, amen. Pastor Lincoln, I would stop you and say, man, what are you doing? Just slow down, gather yourself, and articulate a communication. What is it that you want to say? And sometimes we do the same thing to God. We just need to slow down. Listen, let's just be honest. We're like babies sometimes. We're babies. We're not that spiritually deep. We can make immature mistakes. And God's not put off by it. But there's a better way. If I'm going to spend an hour in prayer, I don't want it full of hallelujah, praise the Lord, Jesus, hallelujah, Father. I got some stuff I want to say. I got some things on my heart. God, I'm so stone cold in love with you, and I want you to know what I have inside of me. You brought me out with a mighty hand. I haven't forgotten what you did when I was bound. I haven't forgotten what you did when you put my marriage together. Lord, when you gave me these beautiful grandbabies, I haven't forgotten that. Lord, I love you and I thank you for what you're doing in my life. There are things that we can pour out before God. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And then, of course, Matthew, he closed with this following sentence that Luke didn't give us. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. It just simply means that you can close your prayer with more praise. God, I thank you for who you are. I love who you are. I adore you. All of your divine perfections, Lord, as I see them, they're just beautiful. You epitomize the beauty of holiness. Lord, I love the way that you're good to me. In fact, every good and perfect gift comes down from you. You are the Father of lights. And I thank you for your goodness. And all of a sudden, you'll begin to realize things in your mind. I remember I was praying one time, and it occurred to me that before God made an apple or a pineapple, before he made those, he made my tongue. And in his goodness, he caused the chemistry of that fruit to match the chemistry receptors of my tongue to give me a good taste. God did that. And I thank him for it. And sometimes you can thank God for the littlest things that perhaps you never thought about, but a good God caused a good thing to come to pass in your life, and we ought to acknowledge him and just say, Lord, I thank you for that. I recognize it when you did that. I thank you, and I praise you for it. So Jesus here was giving us a template of how we can pray, how we can put a prayer together. How we don't have to just come in and say, God, I need this, I need that, I need that, amen. But take some time and talk to your Father and love on him and give him room to talk back to you. Remember, he said, it's not about vain repetition. It's about having an intelligent articulation of thoughts from your heart to his heart, so that there's a real communication there. And listen, if your prayer life now is, 10 or 15 minutes, it's going to be difficult for you to go from 15 minutes to 2 hours. You have to walk up on that. You go from 15 minutes to 20 minutes. That's reasonable. And just hang out there for a week or so, ever how long. And then push on up on 30 minutes. And you start finding out, oh, this is absolutely doable. I thought it was impossible. This is very doable. If you'll walk with God, he'll take you as far as you can go. There was a time, and I know this is going to sound unbelievable, but I'm not exaggerating. I was working a full-time job, and every day I prayed for 8 hours, every day. I'd pray for 2 hours in the morning before work. I had the kind of job that I could take a two-hour lunch. I actually was close to my church. I went to my church and prayed for 2 hours. And when I got off, I passed the house on the way back to the church, and I prayed for 4 more hours. And it was easy. Of course, God has to help you now. That's something that God has to help you at that level. But there's no glass ceiling that you can't go above this. You can go as far as you personally want to go. So the disciples came to Jesus and said, teach us to pray. Each one of us should do the same thing, no matter where your prayer life is at. Lord, teach me to pray the way you prayed. Teach me to pray. Would you bow your heads, please, all over the room? Father, we just thank you this morning that you've given us the honor, oh God, the great honor, that we can come into your presence and that we can communicate with you. There's no other being on this planet that has that honor that we can come into your presence. A dog can't pray, a cow can't pray, a horse can't pray. But God, you gave it to man alone, the image bearers. Father, we just thank you today, and we come this morning, Lord, glorifying you, but asking you, Lord, with this public prayer, teach us to pray. Lay your Holy Spirit conviction upon every heart and upon every life. Give us grace, Lord, that we not strive against your Spirit, that we move with you, that you would teach us, oh God, how to spend time with you in prayer, how to build a prayer life. Come on, all over the room, would you stand to your feet all over the room? You know where you are. Only you is in the place, wherever that place is. And why don't you just reach out and begin to ask the Lord, Father, teach me to pray. Bring me to a deeper place, Lord. I thank you for where you've got me at now, but God, there's a deeper place that I'm sensing in the Spirit. I want to pray more fervently. I want to have more to say to you. Teach me how to pour my heart out. Teach me how to pray the Scripture. Teach me, oh God, how to just pour out and how to hear you. How to open my ears, my spiritual ears, God, that you might speak to me. Come on, just reach out to the Lord this morning. Just reach out.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you so much, Father, for the gift of prayer, Lord God, the power in prayer, Lord. We thank you, God, for your word. It tells us that we can have an assurance knowing that when we pray according to your will, Father, you hear us. Help us, Lord God, to strengthen our prayer life, because it will help us to grow spiritually, Lord God, and closer in relationship to you. Help us, Lord, to overcome our flesh and all the things that distract us from prayer, Father, so that we can focus our attention on you and receive all the benefits that prayer brings us. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So good to see all of you here this morning. Thank you so much for joining us. If there is something that I'm hearing in the Spirit today, it is all about prayer. Pastor Ike spoke on it this morning. If you didn't have an opportunity to listen to that, please do. And then Pastor Lincoln comes and just adds more on to that. As a church body, we must know how important prayer is to our life. Amen. Just a couple of quick announcements. Please remember to support the ministry. If you have not had an opportunity to give, please do so. And then Pastor John Williams will be here Saturday evening, August 1st at 7 p.m. So if you're able to join us, please do. And he'll return on that Sunday to preach both services. So hopefully you're able to join us. I ask that God be with you and you have a blessed week. In Jesus' name, amen.